James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24, our text for today. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." You believe there is but one God. You do well. Even the demons believe this and tremble. But you do want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. That's our text reading for today, and a question for you to ponder. What do you do when your faith dies? You know, I know many people in the church today that are very busy, that really look like they're working for Christ, but they're really just busy. When you start asking them hard questions about their faith and how they believe in God and how much they pray and how close to God they really are, you find out that their faith is weak, but they're very busy trying to cover for that. You see, the Bible tells us clearly that when you have faith, you automatically have works. Now, you know, we get things a little messed up on that, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Well, too often we lack works for those of us who have faith. Maybe we're not praying, not forgiving someone, or not crucifying selfishness to care for others, or maybe we're not sharing the gospel like we should, or even at all. We know this is a serious problem because James said that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What's more serious than a dead faith? But there's a danger here in how we can read this verse. We can easily miss the whole point James is trying to make. We can think that since faith without works is dead, then if I lack works, I'd better start working. I'd better start praying. I'd better start forgiving and start caring more for others. I'd better start sharing the gospel. But that's not what James is saying at all. James is saying that faith without works is dead. Then if you have faith and you have no works, the problem is to the extent that your faith has already died. In order to correct the problem, it's faith that must be renewed, and then the works will follow. You work for Christ because you have faith. You work for Christ because you want to, because you desire to, because you have faith. It's a little bit like a heart without a pulse. To see James' point, just imagine that he had said, "A heart by itself, if it does not have a pulse, is dead." Well, that would be true, wouldn't it? Now, that's not what James said, but if I have no pulse, then what's the problem? The problem is there's a dead heart. It's not beating, because when your heart beats, you feel the pulse. It's that simple. So what should I do to get a pulse? Well, then I have to revive my heart. Starting a pulse without reviving your heart, you still have a dead heart. So if I try to make that pulse without reviving my dead heart, I might be able to create what looks like a pulse, feels like a pulse, and even acts like a pulse, but it won't be a real pulse because it didn't come from a living heart. In the same way, if I try to do works without reviving my dead faith, I might be able to create what looks like works, genuine works, but they won't be genuine because they won't come from a living faith in Christ's person and work in His provision to be working through my working. A heart without a pulse is a dead pulse because of a dead heart. Well, then there is Jesus taught the same truth when he was in John 15. He said in John 15:5, the Messiah has said that every branch that abides in him will bear fruit. So if I don't bear fruit, the problem is that I'm not abiding or living in Christ. It means the solution is not to try to bear fruit anyway. The solution is to start abiding in Christ. Fruit comes from abiding, just like real fruit comes from a living tree. And works come from living faith. But how can faith be revived if it has died? Well, let's say you don't share the gospel because you fear what people might think of you. Well, since this is a lack of works, James would say the cause is dead faith. How do you revive your faith? Well, you start by trusting in the power of Christ rather than in yourself. He will give you the strength. Faith is ultimately a supernatural work of God. So start by coming to Christ just as you are and trust His power to change your heart. Trust Him as your redemption and perfect righteousness. Trust Him as your Savior, your Lord, and your Messiah. Confess your lack of works. Receive fresh assurance that you are fully and freely forgiven through His death on the cross, and by faith be united to the living One who is the source of your righteousness. Without Christ, there is no source for righteousness. Draw close to Him, and He will draw close to you. Confess that your lack of works shows there's a deadness in your faith. Accept the fact that because I know I'm not working, and it shows that there is a deadness somewhere in my faith. Maybe my whole faith is dead and there are no works, or maybe my faith is beating, but not very much, not very regularly, and not very strongly. Ask God to revive and strengthen and help your faith. And then to strengthen that faith as you go along, find which promises from God in the Scriptures you're not trusting in. Write down a list of promises from God, from the Word of God. Post it on the refrigerator and read those promises to you every day. You see, oftentimes the reason our faith dies is because of lack of obedience. God tells us to study His Word. That's what He means. Trust in God and the promises He gives us. How do you know the promises of God if you don't read the Word of God? Read the Word of God. It will cause you to draw strength from Him, and your faith will grow. So think about what commands you're not obeying today that God has given you to do, and think about what promises from God that motivate obedience. Find those promises in the Scriptures. Write them down. Post them on the refrigerator. Put them in your prayer journal. Keep up with those promises and repeat them frequently. Well, here is a promise from God's Word that I've used many times to battle my own fear of sharing the gospel. It's in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Luke the physician said these words under inspiration of the Lord. Blessed are you when people will hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for, and behold, Your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. There's you a promise to write down and put on your refrigerator door. Jesus promises that if I am insulted or hurt for his sake, I will be rewarded in heaven with even more joy in him. So if fear of being insulted keeps me from telling people about Christ's love, it's because I'm not trusting in that promise. I'm not trusting that if I am insulted or harmed in some way, that Christ will reward me with more joy in Christ as a result of the hurt that I have suffered. Or maybe I'm not trusting in that joy that Christ will infinitely make up for the pain of being insulted or harmed, or both. Oftentimes, God does both. That lack of consistent, abiding trust and confidence in Christ is exactly what James meant when he said, our faith is dead. So how can dead faith be revived? You pray over the promises. Pray the word of God. Faith, as we hear it, comes from God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us this. Mark chapter 9, verse 24 tells us that the good news of what Christ has accomplished in and for us abounds as we draw close to Christ and as we pray for God to help us with our unbelief. So ask God to help you with your unbelief. Ask him to fill you with strong belief as he renews your heart and causes you to rest in Christ's person and work. You should pray over promises that motivate whatever works you are lacking. So, for example, if you're struggling with the ability to talk to someone about their faith in Christ, pray over the promise of Luke 6, 22 and 23. We read just a moment ago. Think about it. Blessed are you when people hate you and they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So for their fathers did to the prophets. Pray and seek God over the promise of Luke 6, 22 and 23, and think deeply about it. Maybe even pray over other passages that reinforce that promise, such as these two. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And the other promise in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, the Bible says, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he is glorified. Keep doing this in reliance upon God as he strengthens your faith so you can believe that if you are insulted or harmed, God will reward you with more joy in Christ than you've ever had. And that joy in Christ will far surpass the pain of any hurt or insult. Feel the difference? When the Holy Spirit shows up, your faith is no longer dead. He has revived it. There is the number one problem. We need to reconnect with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray to him and ask him to abide with us, to walk with us. Your revived faith will make you want to share the gospel with others. In other words, your revived faith will bring about works, because you know that any insults you receive will bring more joy in Christ forever. We wouldn't try to create a pulse without reviving the heart. So don't try to create works until you revive your faith. A voyaging ship was wrecked during a storm at sea, and only two of the men on it were able to swim to a small desert-like island. The two survivors, not knowing what else to do, agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray and ask God to bless them. However, to find out whose prayer was more powerful, they agreed to divide the territory between them and stay on opposite sides of the island. The first thing they prayed for was food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree on his side of the island, and he was able to eat its fruit that day. The other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely, and he decided to pray for a wife. The next day, another ship was wrecked, and the only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of the island. On the other side of the island, there was nothing but the one man. Soon, the first man prayed for a house and clothes and more food. The next day, like magic, all of those were given to him. However, the second man still had nothing. And finally, the first man prayed for a ship to come along so that he and his wife could leave the island. In the morning, he found a ship docked at the side of the island, and the first man boarded the ship along with his wife. He decided to leave the second man behind on the island. He considered this other guy unworthy to receive God's blessings, since none of his prayers had been answered. As the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a booming voice from heaven that said, "Why are you leaving your companion behind on the island?" "My blessings are mine alone," the man replied, "since I was the one who prayed for them." The first man answered, his prayers were all unanswered, and he does not deserve anything." The voice came back from heaven, "You are mistaken. He had only one prayer, which I answered. If not for that, you would not have received any of these blessings." "Well, tell me," the first man asked the voice, "what did he pray for that I should owe him anything?" "He prayed that all your prayers would be answered," replied the voice. You see, for all we know, a lot of our blessings are not the fruits of our prayers alone, but those of another one who is praying for us. Never, ever shirk the idea of praying for your neighbor. You never know when they need your prayers, and you also will know that God will answer them when you pray.
All things work for our good, though sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. first and the last. And like a tapestry, he's weaving you and me to someday be just like him.
Say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.